Hello, this is the BBC News with Fiona MacDonald. Azerbaijan says it will continue its military assault on Nagorno-Karabakh until Armenian separatists surrender. Officials in the disputed territory say 25 people have been killed since fighting broke out on Tuesday. Rehan Dimitri reports.
Fighting has continued along the line of contact between Azerbaijan and its breakaway Nagorno-Karabakh region. Local authorities in the ethnic Armenian populated territory say that Azerbaijani armed forces are using artillery, missiles and attack drones. There are reports of civilian casualties, including children. Azerbaijan launched what it described as an anti-terror operation, demanding full withdrawal of Armenian armed forces from its internationally recognized territory. But Yerevan says it has no military presence in Karabakh. It claims that the purpose of Azerbaijan's military offensive is to force the ethnic Armenian population out of their homes.
The BBC has been told the British Prime Minister Rishi Sunak is considering the softening of green policies by changing how the UK plans to hit its target of net zero emissions by 2050. It's thought Mr Sunak may delay a ban on the sale of new petrol and diesel cars and weaken plans to phase out gas boilers. The Conservative MP Chris Skidmore, a former energy minister, said this could be Mr Sunak's biggest mistake yet.
To water down some of these targets and outcomes, it would actually put extra money onto householders' bills that currently are too high as a result of volatile fossil fuel prices. This is going to be an economic disaster.
In response, Mr. Sunak has insisted he remains committed to cutting emissions. President Volodymyr Zelensky of Ukraine has made a passionate speech to the United Nations, warning that a nuclear-armed Russia must be stopped from pushing the world to the final war. He accused it of weaponizing everything.
The aggressor is weaponizing many other things, and those things are used not only against our country, but against all of yours as well. There are many conventions that restrict weapons, but there are no real restrictions on weaponization.
This was Mr. Zelensky's first speech in person at the UN General Assembly since Russia's full-scale invasion of his country. Neda Taufik assesses the advantages of being face-to-face with other countries' representatives.
He got a standing ovation before and after his speech. We saw him holding bilateral meetings with the likes of South Africa's President Cyril Ramaphosa and others who haven't been as outright in condemning Russia for its invasion. So I think him being in person, being able to speak face to face with these people, he's hoping it does have an impact.
BBC News. The Colombian government and the EMC rebel group have agreed to resume peace talks and implement a 10-month ceasefire next month. The first round of negotiations will be held near the border with Venezuela. Leonardo Rocha reports.
The EMC, or Estado Mayor Central, has about 3,000 members. It's the largest dissident faction from the FARC rebel group, which broke away when the FARC signed a peace agreement with the government in 2016 after 6 decades of fighting. President Gustavo Petro, a former Marxist rebel himself, has promised to break Colombia's historical cycle of violence by inviting all armed groups to peace talks. The EMC leader, Ivan Mordisco, initially refused to engage in negotiations, but he changed his mind after surviving a deadly attack against one of the group's camps a year ago.
The European Union has confirmed it's temporarily frozen payments to the World Food Programme for humanitarian aid to Somalia. A spokesman for the European Commission said the move was a precaution after the UN identified widespread theft of aid intended for Somali people. Local officials and members of the security forces are allegedly involved in the corruption. Palestinian health officials say Israeli forces have killed 3 Palestinians and wounded at least 30 others during clashes in the occupied West Bank city of Jenin. Israel said the army was in the Palestinian city to thwart what it called terrorist activities. A student from Ghana in West Africa has achieved his lifelong ambition of studying at Al-Azhar University in Cairo. Mamadou Safayu Bari did not have the funds but used his bike to travel the 8,000-kilometre journey to Egypt. 4 months later, in Chad, Good Samaritans paid for him to fly the rest of the way to Cairo. His determination persuaded the university to offer him a fully paid place. BBC News.